Tonight I'm going to share a little bit about a scripture I was reading. I think when we were gone camping, I read the scripture, and it spoke to me, and so I'm just going to share a little bit about it, and you might have heard this stuff before, and that's okay, because Paul said, one will plant, if you've never heard it, and Apollos will water, if you have heard it. So we're just going to go with that. We all heard, and we all know the scripture where Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We've all heard that. Have you ever thought about the way where? It spoke to me one day. I was like, home. I've thought about that. I am the way, the truth, and life. The way where? You can put up John 14:6-7, because it was like the same thing. The way to heaven, the way to eternal life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way to the Father. And what I want to share tonight is about our Father. Because it was the scripture that really spoke to me when Paul said about Abba, Daddy. And I think I just want to share a little bit about that fact that he's our Father. Because I know that even in our worship songs a lot, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, because I listen to stuff on the radio and stuff, and even when we pray, a lot of times it's to the Lord Jesus, right? And it's not, I'm not talking about you, talk about myself. Sometimes it's almost like, not that I forget about the Father, but to me sometimes the focus is on the Son. And it's almost like sometimes I don't think about the Father as much. That sounds bad, like don't get me wrong. But you know what I mean? Sometimes we lose focus of the fact that it's the Father. We heard of El Elyon, we hear Jehovah, and the God who's more than enough, and all these things. But it's about the Father's heart. And what really speaks to me about that is the fact that it's a Father's heart, and there's a difference. And I was sitting there and I was thinking during worship about, there was one time I was watching some show and it showed Princess Elizabeth and I think Princess Margaret is her sister. And they were out, like it was like a home movie, and there's King Edward, I think was their father's name. That might not be right, but they're there in public. So he's there, he's the King of England. He's there and they're reverencing his position. They walk in, then they get into another room, and it's just them, and they're still there. And he's like, no, I'm Daddy, come. And they come, and they give him a hug and everything like that. There is sometimes we see God as the reverence, and we got to fear God, not be afraid of him, but reverence God. And we forget about the fact that we can crawl up on his lap. We forget about the fact that he's Daddy, he's Abba, and he wants the best for us. And I think it's really exciting because, like I say, in John 14:16, Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So I know he's the way, he's the truth, he's our Savior. So don't get me wrong in that. But he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. But he says, from henceforth you shall know him and have seen him. In the Old Testament, a little bit of history, God is called Father in Deuteronomy. In quotation marks, because Moses refers to him as that, but not in the same sense. So where Moses uses the term while addressing the Israelites, he questions their behavior towards God, who's referred to as their father, who created and established them. While God is referenced as a father figure in other contexts earlier in the Old Testament, this specific declaration by Moses marks a significant moment where God is explicitly called Father. We don't see that a lot in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32:6, Exodus 4:22-23, there's the aspect of him being a father. It's not until really we get to the New Testament. And there it's like there's a difference, because now we have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. It's like there's a separation of the Trinity. There's a separation for now you can place the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. And sometimes, like I said, we lose sight of the Father as the intimacy of having a relationship with Dad, you know? And like I said, it was one of my greatest revelations, not having a dad growing up. This became one of the greatest revelations of God I ever had, was being able to call him Abba and realizing that I do reverence him. I'm not afraid of him. Like the Bible says, to fear him, but it's to reverence him. That you don't want to hurt him. You don't want to do things wrong, so you miss out on what he has for us. And I do worship him. And I do. There is that aspect where he is the Almighty One. He's the Creator. He is everything. He's omnipotent. He's, you know, all-knowing. But I also realize that there's the aspect where as a child of God, I can crawl up on Daddy's lap. I can come to him with all my fears. I can come into him with all my anything I had, and I can just come and speak to him. It says, cast your cares upon the Lord. You know, but we have to realize that he's not sitting up in heaven in a big throne waiting for us. You know what? You know, we have to bombard the gates of heaven with prayer, kind of thing. He says in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace. We can walk right up to his throne. It's like being in that inner chamber where you know, I think it was King Edward says to the girls, it's okay. It's like, here, I'm just dad. Like, here, I'm just here. And I think it's a fact that we have to realize that there's a, because it'll change us when we trust, we learn. That's what I'm going to get to, is that we have to learn how to trust dad, is what it is. When we learn how to trust dad, when we learn how to realize that everything he has is good, everything that he wants for us is the best. Everything that he wants is to bring goodness in our life and to bring mercy in our life. And this fact that he loves us, he doesn't want to strike us down with a lightning bolt. Like I said, sometimes we get a picture of God from Hollywood, which is a terrible picture of God. He's up there ready to strike lightning down as soon as you do something wrong. You know, or we go back and we see the concept of God in the Old Testament, which is a foreshadow, but that's he's not there because we are not the Israelites. We are children of God. They were servants of God. That's what Jesus says. He goes, I don't call you servants. He goes, but I call you children, family. We have to realize that in the New Testament, he's not going to strike us down. He wants to embrace us. He's already done a finished work for us. Healing is already ours. Prosperity is already ours. The goodness of God is ours. But we have to learn how to trust him. You can't trust somebody you don't know. And that's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Your faith can only be as good or as high as your knowledge of who God is. We all love Jesus. We all trust Jesus. He went to the cross. He died for us, and he rose again. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We're tongue talkers. Woo! Acts 2. We all love that. But God the Father, oh, he might strike me down. He might do this. He might do that. We got to learn how to trust the whole aspect of the Godhead. And that's what I just wanted to share a little bit tonight. You know, like I said, in the New Testament, Jesus frequently refers to God as his Father. He's solidifying the concept, and he makes it central to Christian theology of who he is. Luke 12:32 says, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you. Thank you. I skipped one. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. And like, you know, we looked at a few weeks ago about the domain of the king. He wants to give you the dominion of the king. He wants to give you everything that's in heaven is ours. Everything that's up there, all the authority that we have, because even Jesus says, all authority I have, which he received from the Father, I've given unto you. We have the authority. We have the domain of the king within us, right? You know, they say you look at, I'm not sure who's the oldest one, Prince William, is he the oldest one? He's the one, right? He's the one married to Kate. Yes. When he walks, he goes with him. He also has the dominion of England or Great Britain with him, even though he's only a prince because his father is king. But same, we go. Whatever the word says in our dominion, we have. We don't have to wait for it. We just have to receive it. And we have to be able to walk out the domain of the king, because when we preach the gospel, it's the domain of the king going out. Forgiveness, love, repentance, charity, kindness, self-control. When we walk it out and we spread the gospel, we bring the dominion of the king with us because it's within us, right? But how, if we don't trust who God is, we don't trust who our dad is, then sometimes we have problems. That word father in this scripture means the originator and transmitter of anything. The authors of a family or a society of persons animated by the same spirit as himself. I love that. We have the same spirit as the Father. One who has infused his own spirit into others. We have the spirit of God, spirit of the Almighty Creator within us. Because I believe in the Godhead. I believe in the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit is the fullness of the Father within us. We are containers of the God, of the Spirit of God dwells within each and every one of us. And it's not that I have to be there and Pastor Ken has to be there and Suzanne has to be there and Flo has to be there. We all have to be there. I have it. And he has it. And she has it. Not that we have to be together. We all have it individually. Right? There is a corporate anointing, don't get me wrong, but we have it. We have the fullness of the Godhead within us. You know? It's a title of honor. I go Galatians 4, 5 to 6. So Father is a title of honor. And I'm going to get to a couple of things in a section. In a sec. Galatians 4, 5 to 6 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. I love this. He has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into our hearts or into our spirit. So the only way we can cry out, Abba, Father, is to be born again. Because we have the Spirit of God indwell within us. Amen. So he goes, because you are sons, because he's talking to the church, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts. So we can cry out, Abba, Father. Those two words are different. One, Abba is actually Aramaic. It is a tender, intimate term for daddy. It is a term that is in term of endearment, you know. And as a dad, I like the fact that, you know, when my son calls me, you know, I know they say that, you know, Mother's Day is the big, big day. But I love it on Father's Day. Well, not even on Father's Day, just when your son calls, when the kids call. You know, it's like, you know, it's exciting, you know. It's the fact that being a father, it was exciting. You ask Blake, I bet you being a father was exciting. You know, Luke's probably excited about becoming a father. Pastor Ken's probably excited about becoming a grandfather, you know. The thing is, so imagine, this is why Jesus went to the cross, to bring many sons, daughters, to glory. The Father wants us to come into the house. You know, it's like I said, I've heard people say that when you're praying, well, stand at the gates of heaven. Heaven is 1,500 square miles. I'm not standing at the gates of heaven. That's what it says in Revelation, 1,500 square miles. I'm going to the very throne room of God because I am a child of God. And by grace, I can go. By faith, we can go, according to Hebrews. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And sometimes we miss the fact that we can crawl up on his lap and just sit there and tell him about your day. And it's not always about, like my son doesn't always call me when he's having a bad day. He calls me when he's having a good day. You know, he sent a picture one day. He's like me, you know, collects records. And one day he sent me his picture. And he was all excited. He's holding this picture. Look what I got. You know, it was one of his, what they call a prize. And it's exciting that he shares it with me, you know. And we're the same thing. Look at, you know, if I get a new job, I got a promotion. Say, look, honey, I got a promotion at work. And then it's like, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Father, for the promotion. Because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because of you. Thank you, Father. I think back. I was talking to somebody, and I was thinking back about being here 20 years and being at work, I think, 14 years. So I'm looking at retirement, you know, and it's like, somebody's like, you know, because I've had people say, well, time to retire? I said, yeah. I said, because you got this pension, I got this pension, and it's looking at different things. And I thought, it was so exciting about what God has done for us here. You know, it was hard. Well, it wasn't always easy. But sometimes when we do things, it's not always easy. But it's always attainable when God tells you to do something, right? But there, you know, here, and it's like the things that we've done here, because of what God has brought us through, is like awesome. The victories that we've had, the tests, as they say, that have become testimonies, the mountains that have gone. I don't, you know, we don't walk over a mountain. You tell the mountain to get out of the way, right? Believers, oh, I'm going to march over that mountain. Why? It's too much work. Speak to it. Get it out of the way. You know, yeah, I know. Sometimes I have to walk around mountains too. But, you know, but we're supposed to be different because the kingdom of God is within us. I just read something the other day. This is what happens. I'm not sure how old these statistics are. If you have a fatherless family, poverty. Fatherless families are more likely to live in poverty, which can limit access to resources and opportunities. Children from fatherless homes are more likely to exhibit behavioral disorders, aggression, and delinquency. Mental health. They are at greater risk for mental health issues, including anxiety and depression. Academic difficulties. Fatherlessness can lead to lower academic achievement, higher rates of school dropout, and difficulty graduating from college. Relationship issues. Children may struggle with forming healthy relationships, experiencing difficulties with intimacy and commitment. That's amazing. When society says we don't need a dad, the statistics say they do. You know, I was going through this. One other one is substance abuse. Fatherless children are more likely to engage in substance abuse. And fathers play a crucial role in providing guidance, discipline, and a positive male role model. You know, it's amazing because I was reading that because I grew up fatherless, and I'm like, I can tick off that box. I can tick off that box. I can tick off that box because I was there. But praise God, I didn't have to because I got adopted into the family of God. Like I said, I had some very good male influences in my life, but it's not the same. You know, if you are a young man growing up, never realize how much it is to miss having a father's hug. Because that's one of the things I missed. I had uncles, like I said, you know, don't get me wrong. And even now, as a man, like I'll be at work, and there'll be young guys at work, and they think I'm kind of weird, but they all know me now. And there was one young guy having a hard time at work. He said, man, you need a hug. He kind of looked at me like, you need a man hug. And he's like, sure. And here we are in this factory, and I give him a hug. And man, a lot of times guys will like that, and they'll hug this one guy, and he held on. And I thought he was going to start to weep. I'm like, now what do I do, you know? But because he didn't have a dad he could talk to. Because the problem with sometimes is even people that have a father have a negative concept of father, because not every dad is a good father. Some dads are just biological dads, and they're not a good father. So what happens is we impart that onto Father God. Well, maybe he is going to leave me. Maybe he is not going to let me talk to him about certain things. Maybe he is going to, you know, lock the door because I'm late getting home. You know, we have an ability to do that, whether it be a male or female, because daughters are the same way. Fathers are very important into daughters' lives, I believe. But, you know, it's the fact that we can take that mindset of what we had naturally speaking and impart it into a father. Like, I know I did, because like I said, you know, when somebody told me, you know, God's the Father and he loves you, and I'm like, no, I don't care. Before I got saved, like I said, my dad left me, so you're telling me God's a father. So you're telling me he's going to leave me? And I used to think that was pretty, you know, until I got saved. But how many times do people pray, oh, Lord, that you always never leave me? The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I prayed that myself. That's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, realizing that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But we still pray silly things like that sometimes when we don't know. Lord, why don't you do this? Why are you going to do that? You know? But so this is why it's important, even naturally speaking, to have a father. So how much more important is it, spiritually speaking, that as believers and children of God, we have a father? He wants us as children. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't so I could get to heaven. It was so I could get to the Father. He just happens to abide in heaven, sitting on a throne with streets of gold. You know? He has come to give us all things that are good. He didn't come to give us heartache and pain. Sometimes, I know when people aren't saved, they think God's here to give us heartache and pain. Like I think I shared last time or once before about I've seen things on internet, and it's like, my plan, it's a straight line, and God's plan, and they got this line like that. And I'm thinking, why do you think that's God's plan? Why do you think God, yes, victory, defeat. Victory, defeat. The Bible says that we will go from glory to glory to glory. Any defeat is our problem. Sometimes we miss it. We all make mistakes. We miss it. Sometimes it's because God will speak to us and we don't listen. You know, I'm a husband. My wife speaks to me. Sometimes I don't listen. You know, she'll tell you the same thing. Sometimes God speaks to me and I don't listen. I'll admit it, you know. But what's amazing is that if you're here and you go here, you don't have to start here. So you say, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it. Forgive me. He put you right back here again. You know, we go from victory to victory to victory, from glory to glory to glory. You know, James 1:16-18 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth. He willed, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, by Jesus. He brought us forth through the cross, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. I love the fact that it says, do not be deceived, because the enemy will tell us that all the bad gifts come from God. He'll tell you that. Cancer, oh, God's teaching us something. We all heard that. Sickness, God must be teaching you something. Right? And I've heard that, you know, this happened. What's God teaching you? God's not teaching me by putting cancer on me. It's a child abuse. God is not a child abuser. I get something because I live in a world with a curse. That's why these things happen. Because if you want to blame anybody, blame Adam. No. You know, there's a lot of people who are going, I used to go to heaven. I go to talk to Adam. Oh, come on. We would all would have done the same thing. All of us would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have had to wait for my wife to give it to me. I would have just taken it myself. But, you know, but I love it because he starts, do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every good and perfect gift. Not the bad gifts, every good and perfect gift. If we have a problem, it's because we've missed it somewhere. And usually it's because we haven't heard them. So, Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm going to skip down. John 10:10, I like this. We know that's when I come to give you abundant life. He came to give us abundant life with the Father, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I love the fact that when it sits there and we know that he has given us things, because it's Psalm 107:20, it says he sent his word. Oh, sorry, I'm skipping because I have too many notes. Psalm 107:20, it says, though I know it's slow, it's not the guy at the back, it's the system. 20, Luke. 107:20. Thank you. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I love that. He, the Father, sent, who's the word? The Son. The Father sent the word and healed them and he delivered them from their destructions. It's no different now. He sent his Son. He sent the word and healed them. That's why it's so awesome that when you're going through something, speak the word. He sent his word and healed them. So how do we activate? By faith, we speak the word. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. Deuteronomy 8:18, he gives me the power or the talent, the ability to get wealth. Why? So I may establish his covenant, right? Find a word, find a rhema, because he sent his word and healed them. But it's the Father sent the Son to heal them. That's just one example. It's the fact that it shows you that the Father's heart is to give us good things. And that's sometimes, when I first got saved, I was learning, and we have our little victories, but I was still, not struggle, but I was having a hard time, that God wanted everything good. Because sometimes we have such a concept that we have to renew our mind. Like Brother Hagin says, the most important thing believers have to do is renew their mind according to the word, according to Romans 12. Renew your mind with the washing of the word, so you may establish. what is his good, acceptable, and his perfect will of God. Because a lot of us walk in the acceptable will. A lot of us walk in the good will. But we need to walk in the perfect will of God, which is allowing, realizing that he sent the stuff. He sent the good things down to us. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are and for whom we exist. One Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things are and through whom we exist. I love it because it says there is one God, the Father, in whom we all are things. So, and we are for him. So he wants us. He wants us because we are as much an inheritance as we have. We're his inheritance. You know, I have a brother-in-law, and he lost his son to cancer. And, you know, it was his only son. He's got daughters. And I said to Kathy, I said, it really touched me because, you know, he not just lost a child, but he lost his namesake. Like it's his only son. So his name is now done because his daughters have taken their husband's names. You know, and it's like, he lost an inheritance. And you wonder how much multiplied was that when God watched Adam eat. It was gone. But God had other plans. A second Adam who didn't eat. A second Adam who did what he was asked to do. A second Adam who was on the cross, and because of when he became sin, the Father had to turn away from him. But 3 days later, woohoo, hallelujah. You know, we got to realize that we are inheritance for him. He doesn't send angels to preach the gospel. That's us. That's our job. Right at this moment, the only way the gospel gets preached is us. Angels aren't, that's not their job. Angels says they look into the word and they don't understand things until they hear us speak it. You know, they don't understand the word because it doesn't come relevant to them. That's why we need to preach the gospel. That's our job to expand the kingdom. I'm just going to go to end here, getting close. I got 4 steps just to help build our trust with who God is. Know God's character. You know, spend time in prayer and scripture. We got to understand his nature, his love, and his promises. This understands acknowledging his goodness and his trustworthiness. We were talking on the way here about how sometimes, you know, like sons or kids will pick up the characteristics of their parents, good or bad. You know, I know one time, you know, my son was telling me he had a bit of a temper. He's good now, but he was like, Mom said I get my temper from you. And Kathy's like, well, I'm going to tell him that you're not the same man you were 30 years ago. Because the temper's still there, but now I don't let it out. You can't be ruled by our emotions. But I also know that when he was dating one time and we were at a restaurant and he had gone to the washroom and I asked his girlfriend, I said, because he was very polite and very respectful of her and he was like 20 years old. And I'm like, is he always like this or is it because I'm here? She says, no, he's like this. And I heard afterwards, it's because he got that from me. So he picked up characteristics, good and bad. But God, the Father, doesn't have bad characteristics, amen? But we got to know his character. Second, align our will with his. Seek God's will through prayer and scripture. Find out what the word says. And actively choose to align your desires with him. He's going to want you to do some things. And sometimes we don't want to do what he wants us to do. Like forgive your neighbor. Right? Or be kind to the guy who kicked your dog. You know? But we have to be loving and forgiving. And we have to align our will with his. What does the word say about his will? Right? You got to read through the 7 fruit of the Spirit. Because that's who we're supposed to be. We have to surrender control. We got to recognize that we cannot control all our outcomes. But we got to surrender to the will of God in our lives. But it's not that God just does anything. We got to go find out what the word says. Because, you know, people will say, well, God's, you know, he's in control of everything. No, he's not. Man's in control, Adam, right, says Satan's the god of this world. I'm in control, so he's in control of my life. But God's not in control of everything. Satan is right now. because he's called the God of this world. But we got to realize that I surrender control of my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to pray for this? How do I intercede for here? You know, when you wake up and you feel a prompt at 3 o'clock in the morning to get up, it doesn't happen to me very often, but there are times where I've gotten up and it's like, am I supposed to be praying for something? Like, what do you want, Lord? And it's like, okay, we'll be doing this. And the fourth one is find strength in his promises. Reflect on his faithfulness. Because what he's done in the past, he'll do again. If he's victorious in your life on healing for one thing, he'll heal the next thing that comes that the enemy tries to put on your life. Like I said, we were talking to somebody and they said, if God told you to move to Vancouver, would you? I said, yeah. If I knew God told me, pack up, move. Somebody said, why? I said, because we've done it. We came to London here, no job, because God told us. And like I said, it's been good. So because I've already conquered that mountain, or we've already conquered that mountain, if God told us to move and I want you to go here and do this, and I knew it was God, okay. So what? God, it's just moving to Vancouver, or moving to St. John's, or moving to Florida. If God tells you to do something, but you know it's God, then do it. Because we've learned, because we know his character, and we know we're aligned with his will, and we have control, we know that we can trust him. The biggest thing is learning how to trust our Father. You know, I'm just going to end with these two scriptures. Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. This is the ESV. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when we get to the point that we get filled with the Spirit, we will give thanks to the Father, because we know that everything he has is good for us. It's like it says in James, rejoice in everything. Doesn't mean be thankful. Doesn't mean you're thankful for whatever the problem is, but you're thankful that you have the answer, right? He didn't take Daniel out of the lion's den. He went in there, but he went in there with him. And it says that he shut them out, the lion's mouth. We know that they were still hungry because the next morning when the king threw the other guys in, the lions ate them. So they were hungry all night while Daniel was in there with them. But obviously, it says that the lion's mouths were shut. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'd be like, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in there, Lord. And you get thrown in. But it says there's one in there, a fourth man, who looks like the Son of God. He went in there with them. I love the fact that going through all that, the only thing that burnt, because they came out, didn't smell nothing. The only thing that burnt was what bound them. The only thing that got destroyed in the fire was their bondage. It was the only thing that got destroyed in the fire, because it said they came out and the ropes were gone. And Romans 8, 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. I love that, bondage again. Once you're free, you're free. Don't go back to it. Doesn't matter what it is to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He will bear witness that you are a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Suffering doesn't mean cancer. Suffering doesn't mean sickness. Suffering means with him. He denied himself, went to the cross. So you have to deny yourself and then do what God's asked you to do, right? I love the fact that it says that we are led by the Spirit of God, and because we are children of God. He'll bear witness. And there might be times when I don't feel like it. Well, praise God. We don't walk by feelings. Amen? We walk by what the Word says. What does the Word say? Confess with your heart. Believe with your heart. Confess with your mouth. That Jesus Christ is Lord and you shall be saved. So if you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, then you're saved. Well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter what you feel like. That will come. The manifestation will come. I know some people get saved and they wake up totally changed. Wow, I didn't. I got saved in the morning, and I felt, I did, I felt a release. I felt like a weight come off my shoulders. And like I said, I was crying, and everything was awesome, you know. Then I went home, and my mom calls me about 4 o'clock. She says, you coming to church tonight? What do you mean church tonight? Sunday night. We have to go back again? Oh, okay, I suppose, you know. Because sometimes it's like, I don't always want to go to church. What? Sometimes I like to sleep in on a Sunday. But my wife's like, get an usher, get going, you know. But sometimes we all do that. And that's the thing. We don't walk by our feelings. We walk by what the Word says. And the Word says that we are children of God. And the kingdom of God, amen, rests inside of us. So once we trust God, and once we trust our Father, and that the kingdom of God resides in us, then we know that we can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. We can have the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man will avail much, so that we pray, things will happen. Amen? Because we trust God. Because wherever I go, God goes. Because he indwells within me. Wherever you go, you walk into a room, God is there. I know he's omnipotent, you know, I know he's everywhere. But I mean, when you walk in, the anointing of the Father is with you. Amen? Amen? He's with you. Just trust who your daddy is. Just learn that I know he's God and he's got to be reverenced. And there's a time to worship him, all the time to worship him and to praise him. But don't forget that we can sometimes just go and sit on his lap and cry and pour our heart out to him. He's not going to say, I don't have time. He's not going to say, go away, come back tomorrow. He's always there when it's time to play soccer. He's always there when you want to play hide and seek. He's always there when you want to learn how to ride a bike. He's always there when you're like, Dad, I want to learn how to tie a tie. You know what I mean? Like we see these natural things. He's always there when you need a date to the prom. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a husband to the widow. He's always there when we need him, no matter what it is. Sometimes people think, oh, that seems kind of strange. Well, the Word says he's always there. Amen? Amen. Let me stand for a second. We can go. I just want everybody to stand for a second. So let's pray before we go. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we can go from here realizing that you are our Abba, Daddy. And that according to your word, that we can just come into your presence at any time. We have an open invite to the banqueting table of God. We have an open invite, Lord, to your house. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring glory. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring honor. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we go, the kingdom goes with us because it's within us. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can do mighty exploits in your name. But we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen and amen. Now, if you haven't been saved, you haven't been born again, you don't know if you're a child of God, just come and see me when the people leave, and I've got a quick prayer for you. If not, if you're all good, then we're good to go. Amen?